with me. I don't know what's in there. It's kind of scary. We do also have Abby here, still here from Hawaii. So make sure you give her a huge hug. Is this your last Sunday here? Uh-oh. Gotta love up on her before she goes. It's great to be here. Great to see everybody. Great to see all these women getting converted. Isn't that awesome? You may be wondering, where are the guys? What's the deal with that? Well, two men are getting baptized today, so amen. Gotta love that. Open your Bibles to Matthew 25. Title this week is Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. You know, the old tagging thing never gets dull. All right? You never know what you're going to get. People just start throwing stuff, and we got $1,200 on one corner yesterday, and that doesn't even include the coins. So it was an amazing day yesterday. I know we got all sorts of stuff. We got Band-Aids. Bob got a few golf balls. You never know what you're going to get. So Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Wow. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, baby. Wow, what an intense little passage there. Well, let's rip it up and find out exactly what's going on here. Okay, who is the man going on the journey? God. And who are the servants? Sharp crowd. Yeah, us. All right, God has given us all sorts of talents or abilities, right? Some of us 5 talents, some 2, but some 1, right? But he also, along with those talents, he gave us an expectation. What are you going to do with what I've given you? And that's what this whole parable is all about. God gives us responsibilities, and he entrusts responsibilities, but it's according to our ability. That's what he says here. What does that mean? It means he only gives us what we can handle according to our ability. Now, we understand that in the world, okay? Let's say you graduate from high school, and you see an ad in the paper for being a CEO at Microsoft, something like that. Go apply for that thing. My guess is you probably won't get the job. Just my opinion, but that's what I think would happen. Why? Because you couldn't handle it. To give you the job, I think you'd be a little overwhelmed, and you'd probably mess up pretty horribly. So God says, listen, I'm going to give you some talents. See whatever you got. What are you going to do with those things? And that's the question. What are you going to do? Now, can you grow in your abilities? Absolutely. Hey, when I graduated from high school versus what I can do now, a lot different, hopefully, okay? And you even look at this passage, verse 21, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been good with this. I'm going to give you more. So God will give us more. And so will people as you grow in your abilities. And what amazes me about this church is that people grow so amazingly in their abilities. And you see where they were when they first came in, and this is where the discipling comes in. For those of you visiting, Matthew 28, go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey everything. There's a training and a teaching that goes on. So people raise up, they grow in their abilities, and the abilities they do have, they're enhanced. Great things happen. I think about Henry. Henry! When Henry came to the church, he was shy. Pretty much couldn't even look at you in the eyes. He just kind of like that. And now he takes care of our sound system. It's amazing. We rely on Henry for our sound system. And he gets here, I don't know, 6 a.m. in the morning, and he's setting it up. He's become super responsible. He's great with the teens. The teens love him. Hanging on him, and he's doing things with teens. And he's been recently added to our teen ministry. Amen. And he's dating. Now, for you guys, if you're not dating, go to Henry. Get some advice. Henry's so valuable that I often think, what if he doesn't show up Sunday morning? What are we going to do? Right?
Yeah.
And there's so many other of you who've raised up. I think of Victor and Francis. They were separated. It was bad. And now the Latin ministry's on fire. And they have a lot to do with that. They've had like 5 baptisms in the last 5 weeks and 1 restoration. Cranking it up. You gotta like that, huh? And they're gonna have 2 more today. Anthony. When he first got here, maybe we shouldn't go there. Roger, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was like a bulldozer, man. Come on, let's tear up the world. Hey, slow down, dude, here. Let's inspire people to, you know, and now he's getting married. In verse 14, amazing things, miraculous things. In verse 14, and this is point number 1, entrusted. He says again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Entrusted, God entrusts us. We're entrusting Maria to Anthony. You know, that's faith. You know, in the world, it's hard to trust people because you don't know what they're going to do. Have you ever lent your car out to someone, given them the key? Please. I know I should give this to you, but please. My only car. You know, that's why we have a Suburban that has 268,000 miles on it. Yeah, you want to borrow it? Sure, go ahead. You know, it's got a lot of history. Never know what's going to happen. And we teach our daughters how to drive in that car. And it has scars. Have you noticed on the side of our Suburban, it's got a Tahoe door. That door was taken out. The mirror on this side, you can see, it's a different mirror, but there's this, it's like the Titanic hit an iceberg kind of thing. that thing. So, but what's amazing to me is that people who borrow it can get that thing right in front of your door without gas. How do they do that? Use up all the gas, and then it just, is it downhill or something? Where they kind of, I understand that. For us, you know, we gotta borrow things as if we're borrowing it from the Lord. We gotta treat it that way. We had some neighbors who had a cottage up in northern Wisconsin. They said, you can use it anytime you want. We're like, you're kidding. So when we left, we made sure it was totally clean. We made sure that it looked better than when we left. And one time they asked them, did you go up there? You know, we can't even tell you were there. One time we lent our car out to this family, and when we got the car back, they had washed it, they had vacuumed it out, they had filled it full of gas. So every so often it's like, do you want to borrow the car? Would you like to borrow the car? That's how we got to be. But what amazes me more than anything is that God entrusts people's souls to us. We reach out to them. We study with them. In James 3, it says, those who teach will be judged more severely. So we got to be careful that when we're studying the Bible with people, we're getting advice, that we're giving good advice. Sometimes I hear someone advice given out, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. For the people giving advice, get advice about your advice giving. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we think we have it all together. Don't assume it, okay? Why? Because people get pretty ticked off with some of the advice that they give out. Wise man seeks how many advisors?
Many.
Okay. Seek many advisors. Why? Because we don't want to do dumb things, but if you're giving advice, seek advice. Amen?
Yeah.
Now in the world, people have to give us responsibility. That's just the way it is. All right? And it's always according to their ability, hopefully. Now, I have my own business. I hired people. That was a scary thing. You never know what's going to happen. People pull their problems in, and it's like, okay, so you didn't show up, why? And oh, you forgot this, because why? And you have to entrust. But that's where, hey, a lot of us didn't have families to raise us up, to teach us. There's a lot of broken homes. So we've got to be patient and love each other and help each other through all that. Now, some people, not that it would be you. Some people can do the job, but won't do it. They're negligent. Look in Colossians chapter 3.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Question is, are we negligent? Same is true in the church. Now, we talked about there's two hearts there, right? Matthew 25. You got the good and faithful heart, and then you got the wicked and lazy. Okay, which defines you? Colossians 3:17. Thought it was in Colossians. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord.
Oh.
Boy, would our lives change dramatically. Think about it. You do the dishes. What does that look like? Huh? Are you half-hearted? Are you doing it as if you're doing it for the Lord? You know, is there still a little stuff stuck on there? The Lord's coming over to eat. What is that thing right there? Comes into your home. Things are starting to move under, you know, they walk, you know. That can't, no. Clean your bedroom. As if you're doing it for the Lord. Are you sloppy? I hope not. How about at school? As if you're doing it for the Lord. Your grades. We got a lot of students here, right? You represent the Lord now. So, how does that look to everybody else? If you're doing it at work, You know, disciples should never get fired for negligence.
Right.
That should not happen.
Yeah.
All right? If you're doing it for the Lord, they're asking you, they're giving you raises.
Okay.
Please stay.
Come on.
Oh, I got like, no, here's a raise. Stay. When you share your faith, you're representing the Lord.
Yeah.
You do it as if you're doing it for the Lord.
Come on.
It's a simple question. Is what I'm doing acceptable to the Lord? And if you think about it all the time, it changes how you are and what you do. What saddens me is when people don't care. And I've seen that, and it's wrong. It hurts people. And it discourages people from even wanting to become a disciple. Your role here at church, what's your spirit like? Good and faithful? Wicked and lazy. Do you give your heart to what you've been entrusted with? How much effort do you make? Do you do enough to get by? Or do you amaze people with your abilities? Do you think Jesus would do a sloppy job? I can't imagine it. And Jesus said, I don't really care about that. Let's just take a day off and, you don't read that. Why? Because time was valuable. His whole spirit was such that he knew how he acted meant people's salvation. What if we thought on that level? For us, we got to entrust people, to different functions around the church. Kids Kingdom, Theo and Leslie. Got to entrust them. Got to say, listen, you need to do an awesome job. Because those kids are going to grow up. And they're going to remember what happened there.
Yep.
And there's nothing more amazing than seeing them growing up in the kingdom and becoming an incredible disciple.
Yeah.
Like Brittany Parlour, Joel Parlour. You know, there's a lot of great examples in the kingdom. But that was a lot of hard work. And Roger Kama can tell you it wasn't just them. They had a lot of people involved to help them do it. The setup and teardown takes a lot of work. Bob Gamari, what a breath of fresh air. I asked him to do it. He drives 45 minutes in to do this early in the morning. Mops the floor. I love that stuff. Let me see what else I can get Bob to do. That's the way it is, right? Song service. Dustin comes in, takes over. All right? Now, remember it says according to their ability. Right? You don't want me leading the songs. No, you don't. We want people to stay. Okay? That's not my talent, okay? You know the songs? There's those notes on there. I have no idea what those things mean. I think they're pretty. But it doesn't help me. According to their ability. Here things go wrong when people are given jobs to do that they can't do. Look at Matthew 5.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Dave.
I'm holding out. I'm going to make it.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
I can do this. Now, let's get a little serious here.
Come on.
There's nothing more frustrating than giving a job to someone and they don't do it.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
How's that feel? You like that feeling?
Yeah.
No. Matthew 5:33. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Everything beyond this comes from the evil one. Wow! He says, just, if you can't do it, say you can't do it. Don't say you can and don't do it. If you say yes, then you do it.
Yep.
Because other than that, it comes from Satan. Well, let's say this is a typo. It was a glitch. All right? Well, let's go to James 5 and see if there's anything else there that might, relate to it. James chapter 5, verse 12. James 5:12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Oh, man. Why would he say that? Because it's a serious thing. You need to be responsible with anything you're given. If you say yes, you do it. Because people get hurt if you don't. Matthew 25, the guy didn't take care of his talent. What happened? It was taken away from him. And see, hey, if I give somebody a job and they don't do it, and I have to sit there and wonder all the time if it's going to get done, eventually I'm going to have someone else do it. You don't want to be that person. You don't want that talent taken away. Now, you may be thinking, I have a simple answer for that. All right? I just don't want to be entrusted with anything. Don't give me anything to do. I'll be fine, and you'll be happy, and all is good. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Remember we said there's two kind of hearts. All right? Good and faithful? Wicked and lazy. Well, let's define this a little better. Help us out. Sometimes I can be a little thick, so let's talk about this stuff. What's a good heart? What's a good heart?
Come on.
Good heart is someone who's pure. Not motivated by title. I'll do it because they want to be in the limelight. Okay? Genuine and sincere. Somebody who generally wants to serve and loves God. Question is, what motivates you? Passion for God and His people? Or you just want to be in the limelight? And you need to feel good about yourself? Or what do you get out of this thing? What's a faithful heart? Faithful heart is someone who trusts God. So listen, God, I don't think I can do it, but if you think I can, amen. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to give my heart to do it. All right? God is the one who raises the leaders. Faithful. You trust what God says. Whether you understand it or not, you do it because you trust God. Faithful, positive, upbeat. It's challenging, but I'm in the battle. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
Let's do it. Then you got the wicked dude. What does it mean to be wicked? A lot of us could say, well, I can tell you. Been there, done that. That's the person who loves sin. It's wicked. Or they want a relationship with God for what they can get out of them. Now, a lot of people come to this church. It's an awesome church. Look around. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Relationships are awesome. Everybody's hugging you and all that kind of stuff. And you know that people know each other. They're just talking away. And there's, you know, you got people even kissing you. Like Roger does that from time to time, you know. Pray for Roger. I don't know that anybody's imitated that, though, Roger. What's the deal with that? I don't know. It's biblical. Yeah, it is. But who wouldn't want to be a part of this? People love to be together. It's an awesome group. It's black, white, Hispanic. It's all that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want to join because it's awesome, but they don't want to sacrifice.
Yeah.
They don't want to be or do what it takes to get it this way.
Yeah.
They come to the church to take, not to give.
Yeah.
Now, we all need to take. We all need help, but we also all need to give.
Yeah.
All right? The wicked servant says, I'm here to take. And they become like cancer. And they take and they take and they start to do damage. And see, a lot of times we're just flat selfish people. It's true.
Yeah.
And we just got to learn to love. That's what the Bible's all about. We need to teach them how to love. But if they're not willing to serve or sacrifice, they'll be gone long. Why? Because that's what we do. Our lifestyles will challenge the heart. And that's a good thing. Then you got the lazy dude. The idle dude. They don't like to work. Well, nobody likes to work, but maybe some of you. But you push past because you know the end result. Not wanting to suffer. They love comfort. It's like the teenager who sleeps till noon. Now, I said teenager, not college student, okay? Teenager who loves to be the slug. There is a word for that. It's called hedonism. The love of comforts. God gave us gifts, a lot of abilities, and we need to use them for His glory. Can't waste it. You got the two guys. Well done. It says, come and share in the Master's happiness. You know, on Judgment Day, I want that to be heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Yeah, I made it. Oh, baby. I made it. You know? Come on, say it. You know, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But how horrible it would be to hear the other wicked and lazy. Let's look at the wicked and lazy dude. Verse 24, Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. Okay. It says, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man. Probably not a good thing to say. Harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Okay, let's think about what he's saying to God here. He says, you're a hard God. You're harsh. You're hard on people. So what's he doing here? He's blaming God. He's blaming God for why he didn't do what was right.
Right.
Now, hey, have any of you been angry with God?
Yeah.
I have. God, why'd you do this to me? You know, where's the good stuff? Why is it so hard? Yeah. We blame God. Now, God isn't the one we should blame. God didn't do anything wrong. You got to realize God had his son tortured to death. Okay? So it's not like he's not in this with us. It's not God who's in the wrong. Or God wants you to succeed. It wasn't like he said, okay, I'm going to have my son tortured to death, go through this horrendous situation so you can fail. Because I love to watch people fail. It's not God. Then he says, harvesting where you've not worked. Okay? What's he saying? You're not doing the work, God. You're not in it. It's all about me. I have to suffer. You know? I heard one person say, yeah, God wants you to go to heaven, but he wants you to go through hell to get there. Uh-huh. Well, what does that mean? Well, bottom line, we're the ones who fight God. We're the ones who create the pain and the suffering because we won't surrender. We're so stinking prideful. I'm right, you're wrong, God. Well, that doesn't go very far. Try to stand up to that. Or, it's just unfair. You ever heard that? Ever hear that from your kids? It's not fair. Well, where is this anywhere in the Bible that says life's going to be fair? Show me that. Anywhere? No. Was it fair to Jesus? No. He did nothing wrong and he was tortured to death. That's the challenge. Then he says, I was afraid. Now we're getting a little real here. Fear. Fear will stop you cold. What is it that you fear? That's what Satan's going to use to take you out. You don't face your fears, you will suffer for it. And it's the person who is willing to go after their fears that has victory and has confidence to go on. There's nothing impressive about a person who gives in to their fear. Yeah, I was afraid, so I sinned and I did all this damage to everybody else. Wow, that's encouraging. Here, let me imitate that. First is the person said, yeah, I was afraid, but I attacked this thing and I went after it. That challenges you to the quick, to the core. It's like, wow, you're amazing. And that was what we are called to do, what we are called to be. And in verse 30, he says, you throw that wicked servant out. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You throw them out. He says, they're worthless. Wow. Now, here's the question. Are we worthless? No. We're not worthless. It's when we refuse to use the abilities God has given us that we become worthless. We become worthless. It's like a tool that's broken. a tool that's not used. You have all this talent, you come in here and you sit on the chair and don't do anything? What's that? Here am I, serve me. Come on. Ooh, I like this. Come on. God happy about that? You know, it's sad to see people who spend their lives, who come into the church, they do great, and then they quit.
Yeah.
And you think, what are you thinking? Well, it's just too hard. Well, hey, it's harder out there than it is in here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go out there. Those are wolves out there.
Yeah.
You can get ripped apart.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me how many people leave and end up coming back.
Yeah.
Ask Sergio about that. Make every effort. You go after it. You attack this thing.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
That's right.
Well, you're going overboard. Well, hey, I didn't write it. All right? Take it up with Jesus on Judgment Day, okay? I didn't write it. It's not my words. It's up to me. Hey, you're all in. You know? It's not my words. But think about it. Imagine if that was your attitude at work. I'm just going to do enough to get by. Tell your boss that. Hire me and I'll just do enough to get by. Huh? Oh, give him a raise. How about at school? With your grades. Do enough to get by, what happens? Get a lot of scholarships that way and grants and all that? No, I don't think so. How about with your spouse? You know? I'm just going to do enough to get by here. And you better like it. You're lucky to have me. You know? Don't do that. Okay. Not good. It gets ugly. Look at Revelation chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
Now imagine Jesus saying, I'll just do enough to get by. Cross, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. Let's just, you know, put my time in here and get out of here. That wasn't Jesus' attitude. How do you think Jesus feels calling us to give our all and we're unwilling to do it and yet he did it at the cross?
Yeah.
Revelation 3:14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Boy, there's another little intense passage. Does he say it's okay to be lukewarm? No. He says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. That's what he's saying. We understand it with things in the world, but why don't we treat God that way? Why don't we give him our best? Why do we let God down? Why do we become that useless tool? Well, I'm doing enough to get by. No, that's unacceptable. He says, hot or cold. Now, many of you have taken showers, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when I was in college, okay, some of the guys thought it'd be pretty funny to flush all the toilets at once while one of the guys was taking a shower. You know, do that. Hear the screaming. And he got second degree burns. But he knew what it was like to be hot. Okay? How about when it's cold? You know? I have three daughters. They can tend to use the water up. No, they wouldn't do that. It's cold water again. You know? You know what it's like to be cold. And you know, this is written in red. Whenever it's written in red, that's Jesus speaking. Just thought I'd help you out there, okay? He's saying, unacceptable, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Why? Because then at least you know where you're at. He says, you say I've acquired wealth and all these things, I do not need a thing. Well, then you're really blinded. You don't get it. You don't see where you're at. It's a scary place to be. define this a little more? What does it mean to be lukewarm? When your quiet times don't change you. They don't move you to be different. You've been a disciple for a year and you haven't changed? I question your quiet times. You fall asleep in your prayers. Do you think you're going to fall asleep talking to Jesus on Judgment Day? I don't think so. You're in a Bible study with someone and the guy with you is falling asleep. How does that help? Falling asleep. You stay in sin. You don't repent. And you say, I'm working on it. Working on it. You don't work on sin. You crucify that thing. Honey, I'm working on adultery. Pray for me. What? You're working on it? Are you kidding me? That's how we... And with God, it's like Jesus died, tortured to death, and you're just working on it? Get the same heart here. This is lukewarm. It's danger signs. You refuse to serve. You're asked to do something, you say no. You don't have an excuse. Let's look at another thing. Obedience. Expectation to obey. We just read Matthew 28. Teach them to obey everything. Look in 1 John.
Come on, bro.
Chapter 2. Now, if you've been around me much, you'll see that I use this all the time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Religious world hates this passage.
Come on, bro.
Why? Because it calls people to a different standard. See, people want a relationship with God on their terms. Well, let's see what Jesus says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we've come to... We know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is made complete in him. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Does this sound like an option?
No.
Or does it sound like an expectation? Expectation! Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to claim something, you do it. If I say I'm a mechanic, then I do the things a mechanic does. If I say I know Jesus and I'm a Christian, then you better act like Jesus.
Yep. Come on, bro.
He's laying it out here. Man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He says is a liar. Now, either they're just flat lying, or they're deceived. This is the acid test. And see, for us, we got to help each other. We got to call each other to do the walk. It's not acceptable just to do whatever you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Okay, let's go back to Matthew 25.
Come on.
Preach it.
Great stuff, bro.
Matthew 25. Okay, you got the 5 talents. And it says, what did he do? He went at once to work. And he gained 5 more. Well, the third point here is the end result. What's the end result of what you... What are you doing with what you got? This guy reproduced 5 more. He was fruitful. Reproduced 5 more. 2 talent guy, same thing. 1 talent, buried it. Gained nothing. He says, you should have put it on deposit. Something, just give me something. And that's what God wants. Look in Matthew 7. We're going to close in this passage.
Come on, Jay. This is up, bro.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus' words again. He says, watch out for false prophets. You know what? We're going to back up to verse 13. This is good stuff. Let's get radical here. Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Wow. There you got it. Jesus lays it out. But then he kind of throws this in there. Let's see why. Verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown in the fire. Thus by their fruits you will recognize them. Why does he say that in context with the passage just before? Because you got to look at it. People will say you're okay when you're not. He says, don't listen to those type of people, those prophets who tell you it's okay. It's not okay. And he says, bottom line, what are you producing? What's the fruit? You know, wicked or lazy? Good or faithful? Which, what defines us? Huh? He says, by their fruit, you recognize them. Hey, I can tell what a parent is like by looking at the kids. I can tell what a coach is like by looking at the people. That's the fruit of what they believe. That's the acid test. And we got to look at our lives and we got to say, hey, what am I producing? And we know the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that define us? Who are we influencing for good?
Come on.
Who are we inspiring to be better, to be awesome, transforming their lives? Are you responsible with what God has given you? With your money? With your time? As a Bible talk leader, you're responsible for your people.
Yeah.
What are you doing with them? Whatever God has entrusted with you. Now, I want to say something about the church. It's an awesome church.
Yeah.
We are so lucky.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, you just saw all these people getting converted. We got two more baptisms after. This is a fruitful church. That's exciting.
Yeah.
It tells me there's stuff going on here. Now, why am I bringing all this up then? Because we've got to keep going.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, we had a good month. Let's just take a break. Let's relax. Enjoy life. No. We got 12 million people out there. This is your city.
Yeah.
My city. We got to rescue everybody.
Yeah.
Your fruit defines who you are.
Yeah.
In the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln had a general, his first general, by the name of McClellan. Couldn't get the guy to do anything. Guy was scared. Kept asking Lincoln for more people, more troops. Come on in. Give me more. And Lincoln just keep giving him people. But he did nothing with it. Lincoln called it his stationary army. He started giving this guy, you know, jabs. It's like, move it, man. Do something. And he wouldn't do anything. Finally, he sent him a letter. Listen, if you're not going to use the army, I would like to borrow it. Still didn't do anything. Abraham Lincoln went to his house. He's close enough to go home. Lincoln was waiting for him at his house. The guy walked in, saw Lincoln, and continued to go upstairs. What do you think happened to him? He got fired. Amazing. You know? Then comes Grant. Grant was like, Lincoln's wife was like, he's a butcher. And Lincoln said, he gets the job done. And everybody said, he's an alcoholic. And he said, find out what he's drinking and get it to the rest of the generals. That's what he said. What was Abraham looking for? Fruit. What are you going to do with what you got? You know, there's a very painful situation for me. Many years ago, there was a guy that I trained, I taught, I labored with this guy. And he imitated. He was awesome. He was going after it. He has all this zeal. He's fired up. He's doing great. But he had a problem. His wife did not want to be sold out. And she knew how to push his buttons, get him angry. She knew what to do because she didn't want the commitment. And finally, he gave in to his fear of losing her. And what ended up happening is he left and he began to blame us. You know, The people who rescued his, they were almost divorced. We rescued their marriage. We did all sorts of stuff. And then he began to blame us. We ran into him the other day, and his whole thing was, oh, things are going great. I bought this house. I bought this. I did this. This is my career. That's all it was now. Totally given into the world. And my heart's just broken. I thought, what a waste. All this impact he could have, and he threw it away because he was afraid. You know, for us, we got to be willing to challenge each other. We got to say, hey, listen, you got to quit giving in to the world.
Amen.
You can't play around with sin. And see, guys, we need to get scared about what the sin that we can get involved in.
Yeah.
We got to love each other enough to challenge each other. And is there an area that's concern for me for this church? That's it. We don't like conflict. We want to be buddies. Hey, listen, you don't want these people to fall away. You don't want them to leave. It's horrible out there.
Yeah.
So you got to get some guts and challenge each other and say, listen, enough. Because that's what Jesus would have done.
Yeah.
But we're still bearing fruit. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so for us, what we got to do is we got to get excited about the main thing. Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
At this time, we're going to have someone who is using her talents from New York to inspire us to sing. And it's Dara Taylor. And God, we're just excited to have her here. So come on up.
Da 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 da.